get for your money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, sitting here with Becky Ivins on this fine Saturday morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm really good today. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to see the snow is over and the sunshine is back. And
the temperature raised 10 degrees between my house and the studio. It was 20 degrees and it's now 30. So there you go. It's a heat wave.
Well, my kids started spring break this week, and it's just not, it doesn't feel right when there's snow on the ground.
Yeah.
And it's spring break.
Right.
Like something's off. Something's not right.
Well, usually people go to like Colorado to, or New Mexico to ski during spring break to get the snow. So, yeah. Well, we've got an interesting show today.
Well, it is. It's always, I always love this topic when we talk about it. It's one of those that we hit on a fairly regular basis because it's something that people are so interested in, which is the value of their home.
Well, and I will tell you that you've got a laptop in front of you and I do not. So I'm going to ask you to look up some things in the multiple listing.
I already have it ready.
Okay. So when you determine a value of a property, lots of times, most of the time, folks think their house is worth more than it really will sell for. Now, we had about a year where it kind of surprised everybody, but now things have leveled off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Property prices are not going up at the rate they have over the last year and a half. So folks keep thinking, oh, I talked to someone last night, actually, who wants to sell a condo and says that it appraised for $120,000 after she redid it. Well, she paid, I'm trying to remember what she paid, was listed at $75,000, and there was a bidding war, according to the multi-list comments. And this was just last summer. So, and it sold for, I think, $83,000. But she seems to think it's worth $120,000 now. Well, the most anything has sold for is $88,000 in that complex. So how can you get $120,000? Well, there is a way to do that, right? You get cash, because that way you're not dependent upon an appraiser coming up with the value of the property based on past sales.
Now, she said it appraised for $120,000.
Yeah, I told her to
go. Now, that's one of those words that people use.
I know.
Well, going, what?
She had a buyer who was getting financing, but it didn't go through. And the appraisal was done, and she says the appraisal met value of $120,000. And I said, could you get your hands on that appraisal? Well, no, it was the buyer's appraisal. Well, which really is the mortgage company's appraisal. Right. The buyer has to pay for it. But I said, but it didn't go through. And she said, right. I said, doesn't count. If it doesn't go through a sale, it doesn't count, because appraisals are based on different things. Sometimes they're based a lot on the borrower's power to repay the loan.
So let's stop here and say just a basic appraisal. Like if you were using your money to buy that condo, you could pay cash. If you're using your own money, cash. You can pay whatever you want for it. You could offer them $1 million and you can buy it just like that. But if you're using the bank's money, it has to appraise for the amount that you're purchasing for.
Or higher. Okay. Because you're going to be loaned a certain percentage of the appraised value or the purchase price, whichever is less. Okay, so if it appraised for 120 and you're paying 110, your percentage, say you're getting an 80% loan to value, is figured off the 110, not the 120.
Mm-hmm.
Because the mortgage company doesn't want to be upside down.
Right.
They don't want you upside down either on this, meaning that you owe more upside down on a mortgage. You owe more on your mortgage than the property would sell for.
Yeah.
Right? So, and then there's expenses to sell that property. So, there's the education. I'm chair of the education committee for our Realtor Association here in the metro. And we are bringing in not only negotiations, which you actually have that designation, right? Mm-hmm. What's it called?
R-E-N-E, Real Estate Negotiation Expert.
There you go. Well, I don't have that designation, Mark.
Oh, my gosh. You have like 20 behind your name. I have one that you
don't have.
I can't believe. Yeah.
I do consider myself an expert negotiator, however.
You've done just fine negotiating. Yeah.
I'll attend that, though.
Yeah, it's a great class.
I likely will not put those letters behind my name.
Yeah.
Because it costs money every year to keep those letters behind your name. You know, I pay hundreds, well, actually more than $1,000 a year just to keep the letters, right? The designations. Yeah. So, but we're bringing in negotiations and we're bringing in short sales and foreclosure designations because we see the handwriting on the wall mm-hmm. that people are paying a lot for houses. And if they lose their job, if things go upside down, then we're going to have to sell the properties for less than what the mortgage, you know, the payoff of the mortgage. Yeah. And that's a short sale when you have to pay, when a property will not sell for as much as it takes to pay off the mortgage. It sells short of enough to clear the mortgage, right? So.
Right. So I spend a lot of times talking with buyers about the difference between what a house will appraise at and what its actual market value is. And there's oftentimes right now, there's been a gap between the two, which we call an appraisal gap. And those are two different valuations over what does an appraisal say it'll appraise for the bank standard and what is the market value.
Well, we need to talk about the acceleration factor because appraisals are typically based on the past sales, but now also taking into consideration, if you look at an appraisal, you oftentimes will find instead of three comparable properties, you'll find nine because you'll have three properties that have sold. You'll have three properties that are pending contract, and then you'll have three properties that are currently listed. They're having trouble actually finding the currently listed ones because our numbers are crazy.
They're just not staying on the market very long. In fact, I was going to look up what the.
Well, we have less than 2,000 on the market, 1,900 and some on the market right now. In the whole, well, these do go all over the state, but primarily the nine counties in central Oklahoma. But we've got over 4,200 properties pending right now, meaning they have contracts on them. That's just upside down.
Yeah.
Typically, in a typical market, we have about 6,000 properties on the market. Right now, we've got 1,900 and some.
It makes a tight market. It's
all price ranges.
Yeah.
So
that's what in the average day on the market, 6 days.
Right.
That's from all, and that takes into account things that will sit for a long time because they have problems.
Well, or they are, unique.
Yeah.
Like if you get, something with a big acreage or something like that,
yep.
Still considered residential because it's in the residential market. It's got a house on it. But those sometimes take a special buyer.
Yeah.
So you get those averaged in there. Most homes sell 2 to 3 days on the market.
They are. When we come back, we'll be talking about how do you know how much your house is worth on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're talking about home values. And Becky, there's been such a dramatic shift, like everything else in our culture, that the internet has changed the way people do business. Prior to the boom in the internet, people really didn't know what their home value was. Did they, besides talking to neighbors or you came into a listing appointment with someone and you would share with them what's happening in the market and here's what you think their home value is worth. But that's changed dramatically, hasn't it?
Well, it has changed over time. When I first went into real estate, there was no computer. We carried around.
If you're just starting to listen, Becky has been doing real estate in Oklahoma market for 40 years.
Yeah.
So you've seen a lot. 43
and a half years.
There's not a lot you haven't seen in those years.
I get excited when something new happens because it's.
This aggravates me so much.
Yeah.
Because I'll be facing something of a problem and I can see you get excited because you haven't seen, like if it's something it's new or you're like, ooh, it's a new problem. We find a solution together and typically sure. It's you advising me here's what to do because over the years it's just amazing.
Well, and that's really the only way to learn real estate is to do it because there really is no course. Like when you take the real estate course, even now, they do not teach you how to value property.
That's amazing to me that's not a part
isn't
of the curriculum.
Crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, when you take driver's ed, they teach you how to actually ride on the road. It's not just a book course.
Yeah.
But
the basic principle of what we do is evaluate property and say, in our professional opinion, here's the range of what we think the market says it's going to sell
and
for.
And what do I teach you to do? I teach you to ask questions rather than tell somebody. Yeah. Say, here's what has sold in your neighborhood. Where do you think your house fits in there? You know, all these other houses have a 3-car garage and yours has a 2-car garage. The others have 3 bathrooms. Yours has 2.5. Where do you think yours fits in this? Well, almost
it's
always
the best.
It's the best. Of course it is.
Sure.
But if you explain it correctly and you can let them discover the value of their property based on the market.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting market we have now because buyers and sellers are getting, particularly sellers, are getting information from outside the professional real estate expert. They have people calling them saying, I'll pay you this much money for your house, aren't you? I know they call them because I get these calls at least once a week. And I know that it's because I own more than one property. But I'll get someone to call and go, well, are you interested? I'm sorry to bother you, but I see that you own this property. Are you interested in selling it? Because I'm looking for that. And I'll be going, I'm a real estate broker. Please take me off your list. Because I'm going, no, yeah. I'm not interested in selling. I'm interested in buying just like you are.
Yeah.
But to determine value, you really do need to study it. So don't just take a realtor's word for it. Ask them to show you the numbers. I go out on listings and inevitably I've had 2 or 3 realtors precede me on that same listing. Well, this one said it was worth this, and this one said it was worth this, and this one put her hands on her hips and said, I can sell this property for this much money. Well, now I had that happen fairly recently where he had interviewed 6 realtors. I was not on his list, but a mutual friend said, you really should talk to Becky because she knows what she's doing. These others have been in business maybe 5 years or something. And you need, yours is a unique property. You need to listen to her. So I went in and I said, you know, this is going to sell between $440 and $450. And I was met with objection, which was, well, the other realtors have come out here, said it would easily sell for over $500,000. And two of them said, I can get $600,000 for your property. I said, did you ask for any evidence? What did they base that opinion on? You can't list your property to the highest bidder and expect it to sell. More so now than ever, if you overprice a property, it lingers on the market and you lose the momentum of getting more than what it's really worth. Because if you list it for, let's just say this guy had listed that for $450, he probably could have sold it for about $465 because it would have been a bidding war.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. He listed it for like over $500.
Mm-hmm.
So people look at it and then they complain, well, I don't like the floor plan. Well, it needs too much updating. Well, there's a step here. Well, I really don't like wallpaper. They had all kinds of objections to purchasing at the higher price. Had that been listed at the price that was suggested, it would have sold. It was still a unique property,
mm-hmm.
but it would have been achievable.
Yeah.
You know,
nearly all objections that sellers or buyers have for a house, you could put the phrase at that price at the end of it.
Yes.
Like, oh, the driveway's too steep at that price.
Right.
The wallpaper's too old
at that price.
So there's always this balance.
Right. Exactly. And so now we promised to get into how to determine value. The traditional way is still the way, okay? You compare your property with other properties in the same neighborhood. Now, we'll talk about not in a neighborhood properties later, but if you're in a subdivision and you've got a four-bedroom, two-bathroom home with a two-car garage, you can find other properties that have sold in the last, usually we go back about 6 months now, mm-hmm. And if there's not enough properties in your neighborhood, you go back a year if not enough have sold.
Right. Yep.
Right? So, but like a couple of years ago, I had a property in, I call it Utang, right? Yukon Mustang area. It's Yukon. Everyone considers it Yukon, but it's Mustang Schools.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of neighborhoods there. Well, none of the properties that were newer had sold that were really, really nice properties in that neighborhood. But the neighborhood right across the section line had another neighborhood very much like this that had several that had sold for a higher price. And you can't do that. You can't cross over a section line to go to another neighborhood to get a higher value. Now, if there had been no...
If as long as you have a better comparable that's within the neighborhood, right? Isn't that...
Right. If there are no comparable properties that have sold in that neighborhood, then you go across the street and you can find comparable neighborhoods.
Yeah.
But right now, we're selling a record number of homes. So you have to know that the sales are there. They just don't stay on the market long.
Yeah.
So the easiest way is if you have a subdivision and you've got homes that are very much alike and you find, say there's 9 properties that have sold. Well, which 3 do you take? You usually use 3. Well, I do all 9 to start with. And I print that off and go, okay, on average, these properties ranged between $200,000 and $260,000 in sales price. the ones that sold for the $255,000, $260,000 were really updated, had replaced windows. They had hardwood floors, granite countertops, and that kind of stuff. The ones that sold more closer to the $200,000 needed all those updates. So you have to kind of compare your property to that list. And there's usually one that you can throw off at the bottom and one you can throw out at the top. Like, well, this one's a major update, or this was built on a vacant lot and is much newer. And then same thing, like, well, this was a pit, man. It had had a fire and nobody had really done anything to it afterwards. So you throw out the high, the low, and then you kind of look at it again. And you narrow it down to 3, 4, 5 properties that are very much like your comparable.
When we come back, we'll be giving you a tool where you can find out the value of your house and keep in touch with the market. When we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, and we're talking home values with Becky Ivins, and it's time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Value or valuation, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, the value is something that defines the importance or the worth or usefulness of something, right? So under property valuation, we compare it to other units and see what it is worth monetarily compared to other units like it. So that is property value. And typically it's called an appraisal of sorts. So an appraisal can be an appraisal for market value, assessed value, which is what your taxes are based on. It can be insurance appraisal, what it would cost to replace the item. And it could be like a mortgage appraisal, what the mortgage company is willing to value that property at to loan a certain percentage of money on it.
NMLS number 196895.
And on the line, we have our money man, Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. How are you doing this morning, Dean?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing fine. We're talking about property values.
That's a good show.
Yeah, good show. And appraisals. And when you loan money, you have to have an appraisal. Is that right?
That is correct. Very important. So that's the show you are putting on applies to many people because it is probably one of the pieces of the process that's misunderstood the greatest, as you know.
Yeah, folks always say, well, I'm approved for my mortgage to buy this house. Well, they're not really approved until they go through underwriting. And when they go through underwriting, it has to have three pieces to it, right? Has to have. To have the credit of the borrower, the credit worthiness of the borrower, which has several pieces to it in itself, has to have the appraisal of the property, and it has to have the title commitment from the title company. Those three pieces have to go through underwriting at the same time in order to underwrite that loan and approve it. Is that right?
You are correct.
So it has to be an appraisal, has to determine value. How have you seen that kind of play out in appraisals? Are we getting more low appraisals, more high appraisals?
You know, Becky, I'll have one out of 10 that won't meet value. I still have my biggest thing on appraisals are, I had one this week where the property had structural issues. And of course, I was catching some static from the listing agent saying they're buying it as is. So that determination, I said, yes, they are buying it as is, subject to, appraisal requirements or structural inspections required. Because safety and soundness is a big issue on that northeast corner of the house. So you have that issue. It's a big deal. I mean, it's something that can be misunderstood and misread, whichever direction you're looking every day. Okay. That appraisal is a
and a buyer a can agree piece. To buy a property as is. However, right. The mortgage company never agrees to loan the money on the property as is. It's subject to agree, the Becky. Appraisal standards.
Right.
Right.
Which are dictated by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, VA, FHA. I mean, those appraisers are signing on behalf that it meets Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac regs. And in most cases with structural issues, it's not without, a clear structural inspection done. So, I mean, I hear that issue or the issue of, my house is worth X because the house down the street sold for Y. Well, the house down the street maybe was updated at 300 square feet more, but people, they don't know. You were just touching on it, is the comparables within the neighborhood. People don't have the data that you have. Theirs is the eye test, and they see houses down the street selling, so this is what's going to establish their sales price, which we know is wrong to do.
Well, and then they've got what we call eye buyers that offer them money that without even seeing the house. And I went out on a listing last week that was like that. They had my value showed it to be in the, say, 475, 485 range. And the guy says, hey, I was offered 506 by an iBuyer. And I'm going, well, what's your net going to be? Well, it was about the same as what the net was going to be if I had sold it for him, but he doesn't have to show his property. And I said, well, would you stay in touch? Because if I would go with the other buyer if it were me, so I expect you want to as well. But let me be your plan B if that doesn't work out, because it will not work out. They will.
Right.
That iBuyer is not going to pay him that much. They say they will, but there's contingencies in the contract. So we'll see how that works out.
Is that slowing down a little bit, the iBuyer, or is that
no
elevating?
Elevating. Okay. And I judge that from the number of calls I get if I will sell properties. And I get them at least once a week. Actually, I probably get them almost every day. Somebody calling me.
It seems like to me there is a rotation of companies that are doing it. Like they start, they pick up, and they surge for a little while, then they back off.
Mm-hmm.
And then a new company comes in, but they're still hot. Now, Dean, what's happening in the market?
It's rates are, volleying, continuing to inch up slightly. And we'll have a day or two where pricing improves, but the definite trend right now has been upward. So, the 30-year rate is probably in that 4 3/8 range for both conventional FHA or NVA loans. So we've definitely seen the shift, and hopefully it'll level off. That's what we're reading that'll happen, that things should level off. Some have even reported a slight improvement over time, but right now you got to deal with the moment, and it's a 4 3/8 world for your 30-year products, which, if you're building a house, Mark, you got to be in tune with what the market's doing. Because if you're building that $475,000 house that Becky's mentioning, you're 90 days out, you need to be in touch with your lender daily you know, what's the market doing? When do I need to pull a trigger and lock a rate in an upward movement environment?
Well, our money man, Dean Riddell, is the knowledgeable guy. We love to invite you to go sit down and talk with him. He'll do a Zoom call with you or talk to you on the phone, too. So that number.
That number is 405-858-7770. That's 858-7770. Or go to BeckyIvins.com and click on Becky's Favorites, and you'll see Dean Riddell, SWBC Mortgage, right at the top right there. Thank you, Dean.
Thanks, guys.
Now, Mark, did you tell folks about Robin's Roofing already?
We have
our word of the day.
Yes, our word of the day.
Okay.
In fact, I need to have them come out after all the ice that we had and everything.
Right.
I had so much granular loss.
I did too.
Around my house.
I did
and
too.
And I've never seen that much in one event.
I haven't either, but I'll tell you, I took pictures of it because I was like going, well, we're going to sweep this up, but we need to, I want Larry Robbins to see it.
And then right before that, we had a hailstorm that came through in the middle of the night, and I heard hail pinging off. And I thought, boy, that is
sad. It was little hail, though.
It was little, but the big thing that Larry Robbins always tells me is you never can tell anything from looking up at a roof.
No, you got to look down from the way the rain comes, right?
Yep.
Or sideways from where the wind comes in Oklahoma. That
exactly.
Can do as much damage as hail. So we're talking value of property, and we need to compare it. But what if you're on an acre and everybody else in the neighborhood is just got a regular lot? Well, that doesn't happen real often, but how do you determine the value of land? A lot of times, that also is like you'll be typically the center of the town, or say, you know, the suburban area, has regular size lots. And same size lot pretty much as the house next door and the house on the next block. You get further out of town and you get bigger lots, typically, which is like an acre lot or 2.5 acres. You get further out and you get 5 acre lots, maybe even 10 acres once you get further out than that. So the size of the lot gets bigger the further out you go. And one of the reasons for that, besides just plentiful land out there, is that city services don't go out that far, as in sewer, water lines. So you get bigger plots of land so that you can put your well and your septic tank on there. But is a lot of times folks think, well, my house is worth more because it's got 3 acres and everybody else has 2.5. Well, how much is that worth? Typically not worth anymore. It's more desirable to most people to have a little bit bigger lot. Some folks want small lots. So we're going to talk next about what if you have a non-conforming house? How do you value that house? And can you get a loan on it?
Oh, those unique houses.
Ask me about Taco Tico when we get back.
You intrigue me with that one. On Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our Smoking Hot Deal.
Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, Lord.
Our Smoking Hot Deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, and on 63rd, just west of Meridian. Casa Perico, fresh, hot Mexican food. Becky, our Smoking Hot Deal is 1302, whoa, let me rephrase that, 13029 Maple Leaf Drive. It is in Briarwood Creek in the Yukon area. It is about a 1,900 square foot home built in 1995, listed for
$225,000. $225,000. That's a very difficult price range to find a house in. And that I'm sure that hit the market late yesterday. And we may have multiple offers on it already. Who knows?
Yeah, this is one that if this rings a bell for you, a family member, or someone that you know is interested in this, please give us a call because it will probably not last the weekend. You can give us a call at 405-722-3232. We would love to show it to you and help you out.
And you know something? Now, you'll get voicemail when you call the office. It's weekend. Most agents are out showing property on the weekend. So, but we do check our messages regularly. So do give us a call. And if you're really serious about buying a house, you need to call us because we can show you houses before they go on the market. Because we list a lot of property, and if you want first dibs, you need to call us.
So many buyers I have this conversation with of within this fast-paced market, we have to do our homework ahead of time, put a great game plan together, mm-hmm. and be ready to move when we find the right property. We got to be ready to jump.
Okay. Before we go further, we've got a caller. Good morning, Mark.
Yes, Becky, you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for calling.
How are you doing? Okay. I heard you this morning about the robocalls.
Yes.
I get them about every day. I got the surefire answer for them, okay?
Okay, I'm ready.
No matter what address they give me, I say, friend, I'll sell it to you for $100,000. No problem. They're like, you know, they want some more details. I said, well, I gave you my answer. And anyway, that usually shuts them up. But I got two for you, Becky. Did you sell all your rental houses?
Not yet. I've sold half my rentals.
Okay, just curious.
Yeah.
And I got
my rentals. I sold the ones that I thought were probably never going to be worth this much money again.
Okay. Makes sense.
So if you've got rental property were the more low end properties that were still selling for a lot of money. So if you have rental properties, it's time to think about selling those that are a little bit more low end.
Well, all mine are low end, period. That's all there is to it.
But you might think about it.
I don't mind. Well, I got one more comment for you. I got the rental business figured out. I've been doing it over 20 years, more like 25. Just about time you're tired of cleaning out sewers and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. About time you start making money at it. So I'm going to hold on to all mine. And the rents are going up, as you know.
Oh, yes.
And pretty soon it's going to be quite lucrative. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been good to me already. It's going to be even more.
Well, and you get a good, that's a real dilemma for me. You get a really good tenant in there and you hate to go up
got
on
a whole handful of them.
Yeah. Hate to go up on them that much.
Oh, I don't mind. I've got the same renters and they're in there 20 years and never raised a rent once. So
there you go.
Poor management on my part, but, you know,
you're probably going to have to raise it this year.
Well, I could double all of them and nobody'd be surprised.
Right.
But, we're just going to let the boat float and go from there. So.
Okay.
Well,
thank you very much.
I'm going to be a cash buyer. I'm going to probably call you all up pretty soon and say you find me something for $100,000.
Well,
it's possible, you get the message. If it's possible.
That would be not real possible. Are you telling them that you'll take $100,000 for the properties?
I'll have $100,000 to buy something with.
Well, I know, but the thing is the iBuyer's calling you. You'll take $100,000?
Yeah, either that or $500,000 or something like that.
Yeah, there you go.
A good number.
Yeah, come up with a realistic because they'll buy them for $100,000.
I wish they would. I'll sell them all to them, I'll tell you.
Okay, well, Mark, thanks very much for your call.
Well, I said earlier we're going to give you a tool to talk about how do you know what your home value is and how do you keep in touch with that. Well, let me tell you how. You can go to BeckyIvins.com right on the front page. It is about the second item down on the right-hand side. You'll see Want to Know Your Home's Value has a button that says Get an Estimate. Click on that, put in your address. It'll have two things. You'll get estimate of the value of your home, but it'll also set you up on a market watch for your particular area so that you can just kind of keep in touch with what's selling around you. Keep informed about what's happening around
And if you think we're crazy when you get that number, call us because we might be crazy. That is that is a computer-generated number. And if you're really kind of thinking about doing something other than just curious, we certainly can come and give you a value on your property, mm-hmm. help you discover the value on your property given the data that we can bring with us. So that would be good. Now, you want to ask me about Taco Tico?
Taco Tico.
Okay. Back in about 1978, I believe it was, could be 79, there was a roundhouse built.
By Northridge Elementary.
Yes. In Northridge.
Yes. Okay.
Now, we had that listed, and back in the day, back in the late 70s, it was a little bit like it is now. Things were going really fast, and you would show up to a showing with a contract in hand so that your buyer could sign it on the spot so that they could get first dibs on the house, right? This house, we literally had a birthday party for the listing. We got the cake, all the realtors went and said, we can't sell this house. And the reason we couldn't sell the house is because it was not a conforming house. It was round, truly a round house. Still there. And the mortgage companies considered it non-conforming, so they were afraid to loan the money on it. Now you can get a mortgage on it now because they don't consider that odd. It's just square footage and number of bedrooms and bathrooms and garages. But a conforming mortgage is the houses, like it's a little bit more difficult to get an underground home financed. Because it's hard to find comparable homes or a berm house. We're getting ready to list a berm house where one side is shielded from the weather. It's more underground, but it's still got a walk out. So conforming homes, mortgage companies care whether they're conforming or not.
Well, the Taco Tico home, I remember it. I rode past it on my bicycle as I went to Northridge Elementary for school. So, all you fellow Northridge Knights, you remember that Taco Tico house. Thanks for being with us this week on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We'll be back next week with more on Oklahoma and what's happening in your neighborhood.